You may remain seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, who blesses us with gifts from above. Amen. The basis for our sermon today comes from our gospel reading in Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 13. Is the glass half empty or half full? It depends on how you look at it, right? Is it half empty or is it half full? Or, as an engineer once told me, the glass is twice as big as it needs to be. Children sit down to the table and the food appears. It's as if it's magic. The food just comes to them, feeds them, and there they sit and receive those things for free. That is until a father teaches his children how to give thanks. He teaches them to fold their hands. He teaches them to bow their head. He knows those hands are likely to get into trouble, so he tells them to fold them. He knows those eyes are easily distracted, so he tells them to bow their head. They sit down to eat, and a father teaches his children how to give thanks. How do we look at the glass? There is a sort of Jesus way of looking at it. It's a way in which we bow our heads, fold our hands, and look toward heaven. Because even when our eyes are closed and our head is bowed, our heart is looking up and giving thanks. It's a Jesus way of looking at things. But it's not always so easy, is it? When times are tough and things are not going our way, it's not so easy to look up and to give thanks. We find he needs to get away from it all. We find the loss of someone close seems too much to bear. The last few days have been a constant barrage of people and problems and questions. He's healed many. He's taught very much. And the last few days have just been filled with busyness until the point where he learns of someone close to him having died. So he climbs into a boat and he sets off for nowhere. John the Baptist was the news he had just heard of. His own cousin, John the Baptist, is dead. And Jesus wants to get away from it all. When he sees the crowds coming from distant places, tramping through the wilderness, feet sore, and they find him, what do you suppose his reaction is? What happens in our life when we find ourselves barraged by crowds of people and crowds of responsibilities, and crowds of problems? We work hard. We have a boss that's demanding of us. We have kids who need our attention all the time. We have different things coming up in our life, and we want to get away from it all. Maybe it was the loss of a loved one. And just when you're ready to set out for that long-awaited summer vacation, something comes up. The boss tells you he has a project for you to start on at work. The kids get sick. The window springs a leak. And you find your plans have changed. All you wanted to do was get away from it all, but now there's all this other stuff going on. Crowds of people who need you. Crowds of responsibilities calling to you. And what is our reaction? Oh Lord, why are you doing this to me? Why are you putting so much on my plate that you know I can't handle? And we find ourselves not just with a glass that's half empty, it's completely empty. It's been drained of everything and we've run out of faithfulness. Jesus looks at that crowd, and he sees you have joined it. You have tramped through the wilderness to find him. You have come out from the surrounding villages to see where Jesus is. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. The word for moved with compassion in the Greek expresses it all. Splankna. The idea is of your insides actually being emotionally moved. It's in the pit of his stomach. Jesus has his insides turned outside so that he's moved with compassion to do something. He's moved with a deep emotion. Not just to heal, not just to bring food, but to save you. He's moved to keep going toward that heavenly purpose because this is a Jesus way of looking at things. He's looking up toward heaven. He knows the good purpose in it all. And so he keeps going to the cross for you. He keeps going to that place where he will continue to suffer and where he will take away all of your sins. He looks toward heaven with thanksgiving. And suddenly, we see things in a different way. Suddenly, we see these burdens, these crowds, as something of a blessing. We see a boss whom we strive to serve, even when he doesn't treat us well. We see children whom we love and we care for, even when they don't act like they appreciate it. We see someone else in our life who has also lost a loved one, and we find a way to be moved with compassion for them. We give thanks now that we have a job, that we have children, and that we have loved someone. Children do expect food to magically appear, don't they? On the table there it appears, the food that was brought to them, and they eat it sometimes. Parents look at things a little differently. We're more practical. We know it takes resources to get that food there. And we try to explain to our children how that food didn't appear out of thin air. How you needed somebody to pick the banana off the banana tree. You needed somebody to put it in the truck. You needed the truck to bring it here and preserve it safely. You needed the supermarket to arrange it all. You needed money to buy it. You need resources. Things don't appear out of thin air. And so they say, send the multitudes away. It's late, we're in a deserted place. Send them into the villages to buy food. We send them away. We forget the fact that when 5,000 people pour into surrounding village marketplaces, there's probably not going to be enough to go around, let alone that most of these people who have come probably don't even have money to buy something. We say, send them away. We see only 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's just enough for me. That glass is already half empty, and if I give this away, there'll be nothing left for my family. It takes resources. 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's only enough for me. And I'm the one who has earned it. I'm the one who's gone to work hard and earn the money. I'm the one who's gone to the grocery store and bought it. And then on top of that, they want to tax me. They tax me. And they take my food and they put it into programs that have loopholes and problems and leaky windows. And they give it to somebody who hasn't worked in 3 years. They take my tax money and they give it to somebody else. Why should I share? Why should I be moved to help the church, to help the poor? Jesus sees things differently. He doesn't see just 5 loaves and 2 fish. He sees 5 loaves and 2 fish. He sees the gifts of God's creation, and from it he can do anything. They have no need, he says. You have no need. So he calls the multitudes together. He commands them to sit down in the grass. He takes those five loaves and those two fish, and he looks up to heaven. He blesses it. That is, literally, he gives thanks to God, breaks the bread, and distributes it. When our glass has run out, when our glass of our mind and our expectations for what's possible has run out, we find Jesus lacking nothing. And coming to him, we find that we lack nothing. His cup is overflowing with compassion so that he can give everything that we ever need. He sees a people with nothing, a world that is deserted, people that without him are dead. And what does he say in the words of Isaiah 55? Come to the waters, you who have no money. Come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. You who have no money. Last week we confessed in the first article of the Apostles' Creed that I believe that God has created me and all creatures. He has given me my body and life, eyes, ears, and all my bodily members, my mind and all my senses, and still keeps them for me. God also richly and daily provides clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all my property and all I need for this body and life. And why? He does this because he is my good and gracious Father in heaven, not because of anything I've done to deserve it. For all of this, it is my duty to thank, praise, serve, and obey him. That's the first article, and God sees things in a different way. He sees a family sitting down to eat. He sees a farmer who's had a tough season. This farmer has had a tough season. He's lost not only his crops to bad weather, but he's lost his wife. And now he sits down with his oldest son, who's just about to go off to college, and his two daughters, who are in elementary school. He sits down and he has to tell his son to take out a loan for college. He has to tell his daughters they can't have new backpacks this year. But worse than all of that, the most demeaning thing for this farmer is that he has to ask for help. He has to apply for food share. He has to ask the government to step in and help feed his family. And it's demeaning. And yet in doing this, he finds a way to give thanks that he never thought possible. He finds his hands are empty and he holds them out until God drops a gift onto that table. As he sits down to the meal that his daughters have prepared, he gives thanks. He smells the freshly baked loaves of bread that your tax money has paid for. He cuts the fried fish that you have worked hard for. And he finds a reason to give thanks because he's looking toward heaven. When all is said and done, it's not just five loaves and two fish. It's 12 baskets of leftovers. Still our tables are full and a farmer is fed. Still, we overflow in our lives with blessings from God. And it causes us to sit down at that table with a new perspective, the way our Father taught us to look at things. We sit down and we eat and we drink. We come to the Lord's table now with a new perspective. We have our hands folded or uplifted, whichever you prefer. We have our heads bowed or our eyes looking upward. Because we know as we come to the Lord's table, we're receiving something we don't deserve. Despite our complacency, our indifference, our ingratitude, our discontentment, our distrust, through Jesus Christ, God sees us a different way. He sees us through His Son, so that He doesn't see all of your sins and ingratitude. All He sees is thankful hearts, and He sees His Son looking up toward heaven with thanksgiving. He showers down manna in the wilderness, and the bread of life is poured out in your heart. It's a taste of the new creation. Jesus' resurrection means that God's cup is overflowing into your cup. Come, you who have no money, buy and eat. Come, join this heavenly feast and receive what I have given you in Christ Jesus, a taste of what is to come, a banquet that will far surpass all of your expectations. As you go into this week, as you sit down at the table, this will be on your mind. You know those hands are bound to get into trouble, so you fold them. You know those eyes are likely to get distracted, and so you bow your head. You find a new way of looking at things. As you look at the blessings on your table, you ultimately look toward heaven. You know Jesus is overflowing in your cup, and soon it spills over into other people's lives as you find a reason to pay your taxes, as you find a reason to help someone in need, as you find a reason to give to someone who just doesn't deserve it at all. Your hands are folded, your head is bowed, and what do you see? 5 loaves and 2 fish. A Jesus way of looking at things. Toward heaven with thanksgiving. Amen.